You may have noticed a theme popping up in the last couple of years when we talk about popular tourism destinations. Some of them have simply become a bit too popular and are overcrowded and take a bit more effort to enjoy. So we've put out an invitation to our Travel with Rick Steves listeners to tell us how they find relief from the stress of too many people all wanting to see the same sights. They've emailed their tales and advice to us at radio@ricksteves.com. And our phone number is 877-333-RICK. Michael's calling in from Pine in Arizona. Hey, Michael, thanks for your call.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we're talking about crowds and how that has been a part of our travels. What have you done to avoid the crowds?
Well, we took your backdoor philosophy to heart. And my wife and I decided 30 years ago to go to Europe to meet the people, not necessarily to see all the sights. So our top priority is not to beat the crowd, but we eliminate the crowd. So we forego a lot of the major sites. So we haven't been to Paris to see the Eiffel Tower or Rome to see the Colosseum, but we haven't created some of the most lasting memories I think anybody has ever experienced. For example, we have shared recess with 9 students from a one-room school in Switzerland.
Wow.
We have helped 3 generations of an Austrian family move their cows from the pasture to the barn. We've watched a Black Forest farm host bake 28 loaves of bread in a wood-fired oven. In Norway, we were able to find a World War II German coastal fort that was completely deserted. We were the only people there, you know, nosing around to look at this thing. And in the same light, we found a Swiss Army training tank ground where we could peek in the windows at the tanks inside the tank sheds. Again, we were all by ourselves.
Michael, these are all good examples. Wow. These are examples of not having a bucket list. You know, you started out by saying, we haven't done the Eiffel Tower, the Colosseum. You know, those are a little, those are bucket list. Check it off. You've seen it. Yeah, it's great. But each one of those things that you just mentioned, those are the intimate memories. Those really are the most lasting memories, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. And it's a trade-off. So, you know, this style of travel is not for everybody, but for us anyway, it is much more meaningful. We get to know the people. As you say, we go close to the ground,
right,
and we stay on farms, and we stay in one-bedroom apartments with the kitchen, which helps us do 2 things. We can go to the local grocery store, where we, again, rub elbows with the local people and buy the food that they buy, and it's much more inexpensive than constantly eating in restaurants. So we can travel at a much lower rate, and then we can travel more often.
And it's all carbonated by the people you meet and the experiences that those give you. I mean, that what you're saying is a travel skill, is how to travel in a way that opens you up to these connections with people. And if you're staying in a fancy hotel, you know, you're going to have a friendly welcome, but it's all angling for a tip, you know, to carry your bag to your room or something like that. But if you're staying in an apartment and going to the corner grocery store and talking to the cheesemonger about what cheese you should have and picnicking in the park, that's where you're going to meet people. And if that's your agenda is to create those memories, it can be done. It's very rewarding, I think.
Nobody can guarantee that you'll have these memories, because a lot of them are serendipity. In fact, we're so excited about this mode of travel as we've created a website where we try and encourage people to consider it as an important option for independent travel.
That's great. You have a website for this?
Yes, it's europescountryroads.com.
I understand you were looking for a non-touristy alternative to Rotenburg, because Rotenburg's got to be the most touristy city in Germany. I love it, but boy, it is built for tourists. If the tourism economy was gone, that city would have almost nothing.
Yeah, we love it too, but we found an alternative called Machmuhl, and it's a walled city with a castle, and it's entirely not entirely, but if you see tourists there, they're likely to be Germans.
Michael, I spent years looking for the, quote, untouristy Rotenburg, and I never found it. And you have Mockmuhl, M-O-C-K-M-U-H-L. I'm going to put that on my list.
Yeah, umlauts on the O and on the U.
Okay, so you got your double umlauts in that word, Mockmuhl.
Yeah.
All right.
And we go to Swabia is almost tourist-free. So in between the Black Forest and Bavaria is a district called Swabia.
Uh-huh.
And they boast that they have more castles and castle ruins than any other place in Germany.
Swabia. Very good. Well, Michael, thank you for your call. This has really been an inspiration just to think that you've sort of amped up your travel experiences by focusing on those special moments. Thanks, Michael. Happy travels.
You too.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. You can email us at radio@ricksteves.com. In fact, Craig in Vancouver, BC emailed us, and he writes, "Sidle up to the bar and get a pint in the neighborhood pub in London. Grab a glass of wine and a cicchetti and stand at the corner of one of the little bars in Venice. Join a raucous shared table at a beer garden in Munich and just talk to the people. You'll get all sorts of insights into hidden gems that locals have discovered." Craig, that is great advice. And wherever you're traveling, you can get a drink with the locals and use that as an excuse to talk to the people. And, hey, I love to go to a university town, find out where the students are hanging out, and buy the table a round of spritzes. And then you are suddenly the most popular kid on the block, and you've got a lot of friends. One way or another, meet the people. Andrew's calling in from Trainer, Iowa. Hey, Andrew, thanks for your call.
Hi, Rick. How are you?
Doing good. How's your travels been lately when it considers crowds and avoiding them?
Well, I think like a lot of people, they're getting busier and busier. But one secret I've found is to hit the less touristy areas. And I had one place in mind that I wanted to see if you've ever visited. So in 2018, a group of friends and I went from Amsterdam to Berlin, which are obviously very popular places. But on the way, we stopped in this area called the Harz Mountains.
Oh, yeah.
And it was really incredible. Very quaint, very picturesque, but you could tell they were not accustomed to American travelers, which we thought was a good thing. It felt very authentic. And I was wondering if you've ever been there and if it's a place that you would recommend to fellow travelers.
You know, the Harz Mountains are in northern Germany, aren't they? And they're up sort of on the way to Berlin in the north. And I've been there a couple of times. The fact is, Americans just are not inclined to go to that part of Germany. We all want to go on the Rhine River and the Romantic Road and Bavaria and Munich, and, you know, understandably so. But the Germans and a lot of people who know a good place for a vacation, they really enjoy the Harz Mountains. It's famous because that's where the Pied Piper of Hamelin was. But I can't even think of an American I've met that's reported on the Harz Mountains. It's just not something Americans tend to do. Germany is an interesting case that way because after World War II, it was divided into four zones, I think French, British, Russian, and American. All of our German travel dreams are set in the American sector, which is Bavaria, the south of Germany. That's where our image of lederhosen and clinking mugs of beer and oompa bands and stuff, that's pretty much Bavarian more than German,
right?
But we think of that as German, don't we?
Right. This area, I believe it was actually part of the eastern Germany, is that right?
I think it was, yeah. That was what we think of as eastern Germany. That was the Soviet sector, yeah. And Berlin
right.
was a little island of the west embedded in Soviet East Germany.
One of the things I found really interesting is this town, Wernigerode, where we stayed. I think it's actually pronounced Wernigerode. You take a train up to the Brocken, which is the tallest part of the Harz Mountains. And it's a pretty popular thing to do.
Yeah.
I think maybe because there's not a ton to do.
Yeah.
Other than see old buildings and castles and whatnot. But just a really fascinating area. And I thought it would be worth mentioning in case anybody in your show or anybody that would listen might have interest in a less touristy area of Germany.
You know, I think that there's something to be said, even if the if it doesn't have the razzle-dazzle sights, you know, it doesn't have Neuschwanstein or you know, something that we might all want to go see, just to be in a place that's beautiful and charming and well-preserved and filled with German vacationers, perhaps, but without any Americans or without any international travelers, that's a delightful experience. And I would say the Harz Mountains, I believe it's spelled H-A-R-Z, and the Harz Mountains are just a great example of that. In a lot of ways, former Eastern Germany, the DDR, was kind of in a sort of mothballed and didn't change that much during the Cold War. And then after Germany was reunited, they had to scramble to get the infrastructure and the affluence and the efficiency that the West has been known for. But a lot of that old, charming, small-town, half-timbered quaintness survives in that part of Germany. I'll be traveling in a few weeks into a region called the Valley of the Clueless. And it was a part of Eastern Germany that did not get radio or TV reception from the West, so they didn't really know what was going on in the West, like some of the towns on the border that could be connected by the West through media, even when that was supposedly forbidden, you know, or foreboden.
Interesting.
Yeah, but it's a good tip, Andrew, and I hope that do you have any good travels coming up?
I might be going to Utrecht to visit my sister here in April next year.
Ah, Utrecht.
So that's the goal with my two toddlers.
I think there's a wonderful open-air folk museum near Utrecht at Arnhem that you might want to go, especially if you're traveling with kids.
Yes, it's absolutely.
Brings all of the traditions of the Netherlands together in this one beautiful folk park.
I will definitely check that out. Thank you for the recommendation.
All right, Andrew. Thanks for calling in. Take care.
Bye.
You can hear from more of our Travel with Rick Steves listeners in part one to this topic of getting beyond tourist sites in Europe that have gotten a bit overcrowded lately. Those conversations aired in August on program number 763. Listen from our show archives at ricksteves.com/radio. And Ginger in Redlands, California has another great example of how a smart traveler can avoid the crowds. Ginger writes, "We went to the Acropolis and the Parthenon in Athens. To beat the crowds, we got in line at the back entrance at 7:30 a.m., 30 minutes before they opened their doors. By 7:50, the line behind us snaked beyond where we could see. When the doors opened, we walked and climbed as quickly as we could to the top and enjoyed a beautiful, magical moment where we were all alone on the Acropolis in Athens." Such a great example, Ginger, of how all of us need to be thoughtful about being at those popular places when they're not so popular. Dusty from Honolulu emailed us, and Dusty writes, "The island nation of Malta in the middle of the Mediterranean is part of the European Union and an ideal backdoor. They have 365 churches that really come alive during religious festivals, which are almost weekly. Try going during St. Joseph's Day or Palm Sunday or some other time that's not in peak season. You'll experience local culture coming alive. Processions can have as many as 500 locals in costumes participating, and each village rivals each other. Mostas Cathedral is one of the largest unsupported domes in the world, with a World War II shelter that's a museum today. The three islands of Malta also include Blue Lagoon beaches and medieval towns like Rabat and Medina, which blend Eastern, Western, and North African styles." Wow, Dusty sounds like he's on the tourist promotion board of the island nation of Malta. That sounds really good. And it's an island that a lot of people have one-day stop when they're on a cruise ship. It's a huge cruise port. It's an island that's very easy to access from different points around Mediterranean Europe. And it is an island that I was impressed by the fortifications. It's just a totally fortified island in the middle of the Mediterranean there, sort of indicating it's had a hard-fought history and reminding us of its strategic importance. Great to hear from Dusty about all the things you can see and do on that little tiny country in the middle of the Mediterranean, Malta. Alice is on the line from St. George in Utah. Alice, thanks for your call.
Yeah, hi, Rick. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I found that going like for the Christmas markets off season, there's nothing other than the Christmas markets themselves that are crowded at all. You know, theme parks, boat rides, tours, museums, nothing.
So all the people visiting Nuremberg during the Christmas festival, for example, Christmas market, will be focused on the festivities around that market scene, leaving the rest of the sites that are worthwhile all year long less crowded
Absolutely.
Than normal?
Absolutely. I walked right up to the castle and almost nobody up there. free rein.
That's good advice. Everybody's on the main square enjoying. You're going to enjoy the festival, but the Christmas market, but don't neglect what the city is known for 365 days out of the year.
Exactly. And like I said, no wait. So, you know, best time to go.
So when were you there?
I was there last Christmas, and I'm going back again. Actually, I went to the Christmas markets like 2 years, last 2 years.
Really?
And I'm going back again.
Alice, where have you seen Christmas markets in Europe?
Well, mostly in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went up, you know, over in Paris, of course, but mostly in Germany, and went into Salzburg from Munich.
So how are they different? I'm curious about that. What distinguishes
one? Well, the funny thing is the German ones really aren't really that different. You know, maybe a few little regional things, but, you know, you find the more differences in the different countries.
That's
you know, like the Nuremberger sausages or something, but really not a lot different. All the merchandise is, you know, substantially the same. So
Nuremberg sausage. I love a Nuremberg sausage. Did you eat the Nuremberg sausages?
Yes, I did. I always try to get the specialty, yeah.
Oh, I love it. Three, the size of your little finger. Three of them on a little bun with some nice mustard. Oh, baby.
I even saw the Christkind. She just happened to be there when
I was. Oh, you saw the Christkind. Tell us about the Christkind. What was that like? Who is she, first of all?
It was interesting. Well, you know, it was packed, obviously, and she was trying to, you know, pay attention to the kids. But it was just interesting after seeing the her on the TV show and getting to see her in person.
Oh, that's great. The Christkind, by the way, for our listeners, is the celebrity of the Christmas season in Bavaria, in Nuremberg, I think, especially. And she's a teenage girl that's chosen to be the like the angel. It's called the Christ child, Christkind. But it's a young girl who really is the gift giver for all the gifts. And sort of the little children are enamored by her, aren't they?
Yes, they were. And she really played to them also, you know.
Oh, it was amazing, phenom for me to see this Christkind in action. And I'll never forget, she'd hold an audience with all the little kids looking up at her like she was just a gift from heaven. And she said, "If you're very gentle, you can touch my wings." I'll never forget that. "If you're very gentle, you can touch my wings." And then all the kids came up and got to touch her wings.
And I've also noticed, like I said, not just museums, which are empty, but like the TV tower in Munich, boat towers in Berlin, boat tours in Berlin, the theme park at Europa Park.
Yeah.
You could even just walk right in. I've never walked into a theme park, you know, without any wait. And they let you just stay on the ride if you liked it. You didn't have to get off and go through again.
They're that empty because it just sucks all the travel oxygen out of the city. Everything's on the main square for that.
Oh, yeah.
Christmas
it's elbow
market.
To elbow at the Christmas markets, you know.
So what's a highlight for you? Because I'm fascinated by people who just, they go back year after year for the Christmas markets. What is it about it? Is it the hot spiced wine? Is it the little family scenes? Is it the craftsmanship and the loving artisan work? What is it about these Christmas markets?
Oh, that's a really interesting question, because I try to, like I said, squeeze in some other sites. But I find that as opposed to just going museum after museum, you know, on a kamikaze tour, it's just kind of relaxing. You know, you have a little snack.
Yeah.
Your people watch. You get something, you know, different that you're not going to get here in America to eat.
Yeah.
You know, and then you throw in a site or a tour.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's people. I think it's a community coming together. It's just a, like we have a county fair here, you know, outside of Seattle. And it's just half of the fun is people watching, all the families that are there and all the traditions. And that's the same thing at a Christmas market anywhere in Germany.
Absolutely.
Alice, thanks for your call and have fun at your next Christmas market.
Thank you, Rick. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced at Rick Steves Europe in Edmonds, Washington by Tim Tatton, Kazmer Hall, and Donna Bardsley. Andrew Wakeling and Sherry Court upload the shows to our website. Our theme music was written and performed by Jerry Frank. Affiliate relations are by Sheila Gerzoff. You can find links to our guests and search the show archives at ricksteves.com/radio. We'll see you next week with more Travel with Rick Steves.